This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, episode 33. I found myself in the hot seat.
Well, this is Stephen Koss here on Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, and I'm happy to be back in C-Town here, and really excited to talk to you about real estate. First off, just, hey, congrats on all your success.
Thank you. I'm excited to do this interview tonight.
Awesome. Yeah, I know your podcast focuses on all kinds of passive income streams, but it seems like your main channel is real estate. So my first question, Mike, is why real estate? I mean, why is it so important, and what makes it such a great investment?
Well, here's how it all started. When I was like 18 years old, infomercials were crazy. And the only infomercials that existed at that time was real estate. And I seen the dream of all these people, you know, they're driving the flashy cars and they're on the beach all day, and they all came from real estate. So I was brainwashed by the idea of real estate from like being a young adult. And for me, that was my freedom ticket, I felt. So from there, you know, I just knew I had to get involved. Now, I obviously didn't do my homework. I had shared with that, you know, story with people several times. But, you know, to me, I felt real estate was the true passive income strategy, and I had to get in and get started.
So it really was the infomercials that sold the dream to you, huh?
Yes, it was. You know, this was before, you know, all the internet buzz and all that. So infomercials were the big marketing thing from 2 a.m. till 6 a.m. If you were up late or up early, there was a dream going on.
Well, could you touch a little bit about your beginning journeys, how you learned the hard way, your personal struggle trying to achieve this dream?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a teenage dad, and I started a carpet business right away to take care of my family. It was the only trade I knew. So to make a lot of money, I worked lots of hours, and I knew I had to get involved. In my mind, I had to get involved with real estate because that was going to be my exit from working these countless hours and be able to spend more time with my family. So, you know, rather than doing the smart thing and educating myself about investing in real estate, finding out what a good investment is, how to handle contractors, how to screen tenants, everything you can imagine, I had a mindset of rich people own real estate, so I'm going to buy real estate. So that's what I did. I basically blindly purchased properties at high prices. Financing was available in abundance at that time. And that's all I did. I just bought and bought and bought. And what had happened, I built a you know, a small portfolio, which was actually negative cash flowing once you take out the taxes and repairs and all that stuff. And unfortunately, after September 11th, Cleveland being a blue-collar city, a lot of the factories shut down shortly after that. So I lost my carpet income, and I had about 5 mortgages with no backup income and nobody paying rent. So it was like, for me at that time, it was the scariest thing I'd ever gone through. And I just instantly went into massive debt, couldn't pay my bills, and I crashed and burned. And that was probably like the most painful financial time in my life for me.
Wow, that doesn't sound like a dream, Mike. That sounds kind of like a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. You know, if it all happened again now, you know, I spent the years educating myself on different strategies and how to make things work. And that was the key. You know, what you know, and, you know, when you build up your knowledge, you can't get into trouble. You know, there's so many different strategies and things that can happen to you, but you always know a new exit strategy when you have the education to take care of it. So, you know, when I crashed and burned, I literally, for about 7 years, just read every real estate book. You know, I went to all the seminars. I networked with local mentors that were doing the business in my marketplace, and I learned from them. And at that point, I was ready to jump back in.
I mean, is that what pulled you out of that funk when you were, you know, having that nightmare of 5 different mortgages and factories were getting shut down here after 9/11? I mean, did you just felt like giving up, but was it you just said, I'm just going to educate myself. I got to figure this thing out.
It was a combination of things. The biggest thing was at this point, I had 2 kids and my wife, who was super awesome and super supportive, even though, you know, everything was horrible all around us. She never threw it in my face, thankfully. So, you know, with her support, I went back to, you know, the carpet business to go ahead and take care of my family. Even though business was really bad and it was really slow, you know, I did whatever it take to, you know, just keep things moving. And then my extra time, I just kept on studying because I knew I eventually would have to make it work to get back in the game. And I hit a point after 2008 when the markets crashed and real estate was, I mean, they were basically giving away properties. And I knew this was my time. I had a ton of knowledge. And even though properties were dirt cheap, I was still scared to death to jump back in. And what I did was I realized I needed to work on myself. It was my own, you know, self-conscious that, you know, from my past failure that was holding me back. So I actually purchased Tony Robbins' Personal Power and Get the Edge program. And really, any program probably would have worked for me at that point because I was like, I will do whatever it takes to change my life right now. But that happened to be the program I bought, and I did literally every single thing that man suggested, and things did turn around very fast for me at that point.
Yeah, it seems like your positive attitude is something that's propelled you forward in the real estate game. For those that don't know, you know, after 9/11, I had quit my sales job, and I came back to work with Mike doing carpet. And I was his yin to his yang, pretty much. This guy was so positive, they called him Smiley at the 7-Eleven, where, you know, I was just the mad teenage kid, pretty much mad at everything, you know. But for the listeners out there, how does one maintain a positive attitude after coming out and educating themselves through Tony Robbins or other gurus of the matter? How do you maintain that level of positivity every single day?
Well, the first thing is you got to realize being negative and being pissed off is not going to get you anywhere closer to where your end goal is. So, you know, it's easier said than done when, you know, it feels like the world's crashing down on you, but being mad gets you nowhere. So you got to think of the positive side, which is somebody out there has it way worse than you right now. So get off your pity party and focus on the positive. And then from there, find a network of people that are positive or they're doing active things that just feel good. And when you surround yourself with people that are, you know, they're on the up and up, they're feeling good, they're making moves, and they're generally happy in life, you have no choice but to convert to that. Because they're not going to let you hang out after, you know, a while. So, you know, surround yourself with winners, you know, to keep it simple. And, you know, that will propel you to the next level and staying positive.
I think that's a really important tip, surrounding yourself with the like-minded people, you know, that have the same ambition, drive, and goal. I think that's really good advice for the listeners. Also, you know, I remember reading something in your blog, Mike, about, you know, your workout and the way you eat and the way you have certain protein shakes. Does this help fuel your day through energy and keep that positivity level up as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I tell my wife this every morning, and I think I drive her nuts with it. But, like, the happiest moment of the morning is we get up. Now, our oldest daughter is 16, so she holds down the fort for us, which is awesome at 6 in the morning that she'll actually get up and do that for us. But we go out and we walk or run first thing, and we get it all out, you know, first thing in the morning, you know, whether it's good, bad, whatever. You know, you get your exercise going, you get your heart rate up. You know, the positive endorphins come in, and, you know, that helps me fuel my day from that point. So whatever challenge does come, you know, to me, I have a clear head at least. I'm not waking up groggy headed and then something crazy falls in my lap and I don't know how to react to it at that point. So that's key for me. And then obviously putting good things in your body too. You know, if you're eating fast food all day, you know, you're going to sludge through the day. You're going to feel bad. You know, blend up a bunch of vegetables and fruits and throw a scoop of protein in a shake. And just take that to the head first thing. It's a perfect way to start the day.
I hear you. I back that 100%, man. I love waking up in the morning and working out and having my meals prepared. So it's one less thing to worry about when the world hands you, not problems like we used to call them, situations, right?
Situations. That's right. And there's not a shortage of situations every day. So,
Mike, where does this drive come from? I mean, I remember when you first started doing carpet, the guy used to drop you off like 6 miles away from your house. You had to walk home. You know, we used to work a regular day till 6 o'clock, and then you'd have us drive to Cleveland and we'd start another house and maybe quit a little bit after 10 p.m. I mean, what is this drive? Where does it come from? Why do you work so hard?
I guess I might have been born with it. I don't know what the right answer is. I just always wanted to have, you know, freedom, financial freedom at some point. So even as a teenager, you know, back then I didn't realize I could purchase investments and get them to provide me income. I just thought if I work a bunch of hours or I work really hard, eventually I'll be able to step back and, you know, live off of all my hard work at that point. So, you know, I don't know if the drive came from, you know, my parents putting the discipline in me at a young age or just, you know, being driven to be financially free at a decent age in life. So, you know, I wish I could give a better answer than that, but yeah, that's it. Just, I always wanted that financial freedom.
Just having that security.
Right, right. And then, you know, like I said, at a respectable age too, you know, everybody works their whole entire life up to 65 and then they want to, you know, sit back and enjoy it. You know, I want to receive that in my 40s and then be able to enjoy life.
You know, there's a YouTube video with Will Smith. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And they're asking him about, you know, his success and how he got there. And he said, you know, just one thing he kept saying, he's like, you got to decide. He's like, decide, decide, decide. And he's like, don't ever lose that vision. You know, and keep working hard towards it. I think a lot of people decide, but then something gets hard, gets in their way, and they decide on something else. You know, is there a way, is there any like visualization techniques or mind exercises you use to manifest these real estate deals into the physical world?
Yeah, that's huge right there too, because you're right. Everybody does decide and you have your goals and your dreams. They're all laid out. The second you take the first action step, something's going to get in your way. So you get past that, the second one pops up. Most people quit at that point. Last year, I had all my goals laid out, and I actually put them in my cell phone notepad. And I looked at them every single day. No lie. I'd pull it up every morning. This is what I said I would do, so I'd do it. So, like, one of my goals was to do 10 fix and flips. We ended up doing 19 deals last year. So, you know, it blew away my expectations. And, you know, even small things. Like, you know, I want to make enough money to take my family on 2 vacations this year. It was in my goal list, and it happened. So it's, you know, you need to look at it every single day. So I suggest putting it in your cell phone notepad because it's in your hand all day long. Let's be real. So just click on that app once a day of what you really want. And if you're sitting on the couch watching TV, get that reminder. You know, get up and send that one email you were dragging your feet on, or look up that property and make an offer, whatever the case may be. But daily action steps and reviewing your goals, that's what's going to get you to the finish line.
So just like visual reinforcement, always having it on you, almost like it's subconsciously hitting you throughout the day.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's it. Just if you're checking on it every day, you have no choice but to take an action step that day, because you're going to come down on yourself even harder if you look at it on your phone and you're like, wow, I won't even send an email to this guy that might have a deal for me.
Since we're speaking on vision and dreams really quick, is there a deal you did within the past year or so that almost felt like it was out one of those infomercials you used to watch as a teenager?
Deal I did in the past year, big for me, is approaching hard money lenders. Like, I don't know what it is, but I get such a rush from presenting, you know, what I'm working on to a potential lender that may not even know me, but I'll lay out my whole strategy for them. And then when they say yes to me, that's when I know I've done a good job and my lender really trusts in me and knows I'm doing the right thing. So anytime I, you know, approach a new lender and they say, yeah, we will 100% back you on your deals, that's a great day. And I, you know, if you asked me years ago if people would be opening up and financing my deals like this, I would have never thought that was possible. And now I have access to more money than I possibly could even invest in my marketplace.
Yeah, that just shook a little power in my brain there about when I was reading your real estate book online. I thought the most important thing that you put into that book was the credibility kit. Can you touch base on that for a little bit for the listeners?
Yeah, credibility kit is, you know, breaking down into great detail. So if you want, you know, a private lender to back you, you can't just walk up to the lender and say, hey, I need $50,000 for this house I want to flip. They'd be like, yeah, whatever. So if you went to the private lender and said, you know what, I have an investment I'm working on, I'm looking for some funds to go ahead and make the purchase and rehab it, would you mind sitting down with me and we could discuss how your money's secured, what type of returns you can get on the deal, and exactly what I plan on doing with this property? Now, this is where you got to go into almost obnoxious amounts of detail. You want to know, or show your lenders, you know, what you're buying it for. What's the exit strategy? What's the profit on the exit strategy? How much time are you going to work on it? What's their potential profit on the deal? Are they getting interest-only payments every month, or principal and interest, or a balloon payment? I mean, you want to have it all spelled out so they can't even ask you a question on how do I get this? If you have all their questions answered before you even step or, you know, walk away from the table, it's usually a winning situation.
Wow, that's just huge, man. That's because everybody says, oh, I'd love to do real estate too, or do this or do that if I had the money. But you just laid out a plan right there. Easy for anybody. Just put together your business plan, put together your strategy, dot your I's, cross your T's. I mean, the money is out there, is it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I live outside of Cleveland, and if you turn on the news, the only thing we have going for us is we're above Detroit, you know? So, and I'm sorry to all my Detroit people, but we got to be above something.
We got LeBron back. It's all good.
Right, right. So, you know, you would turn on the news and think, you know, Cleveland's one of the poorest economies out there, but I literally have access to millions of dollars to invest in this marketplace. So money is everywhere, without a doubt. It's just getting around the right people. Like we said earlier, you know, surround yourself with the people you want to be like, and then having a clear business plan. Yeah, you want to get involved with real estate. How are you going to do it? Where are you going to find your deals at? You know, once you have all the questions answered and you truly want to make it happen, you just kick on doors until you get a yes. And plenty of people are going to tell you no. You don't quit. You keep going until you get the yes.
Got to keep that drive alive.
Absolutely. If you want to live the dream, you got to go after it. It's not going to be easy. You know, it never is. If it was easy, everybody would do it.
Well, you know, in my opinion, knowing you, you know, these last 20 years, you know, you've always been a really hard worker, always kept that positive attitude, and you have this ability to dream. I mean, if you're coaching some new people in the real estate business, where should they start out at? What should they read first? Who should they go talk to? Can you touch base on that, please?
Yeah, I mean, all right, as far as books, personal development mixed in with real estate books is going to be key. Because what I learned from my own experience is, it wasn't, you know, I had all the knowledge in the world, but I was scared to take action. And that's because I was having own issues inside of me. So you have to work on your personal development. So read books by Tony Robbins. Read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which everybody knows that. Read Retire Young, Retire Rich. So that's as far as your books go. Now, decide on what you actually see yourself doing in the game. There's so many different strategies in real estate, but I know there's something ticking in the back of your head that you would want to actually take action on. So if you want to be a fix and flip guy in your hometown, then that's where we got to start. You want to look at what all the properties are selling for, and then it's time for you to find the junkers or the motivated sellers that you can get a great buy on and take action on, rehab that, and then make your first deal happen. So it's all about focus and a plan and just daily action steps. They could be small, but they got to be action steps daily.
Yeah. Do you feel it helps to have a mentor or a coach, you know, helping you along the way? Maybe, you know, contracts are scary for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important to have, and I still hire mentors to this day. I'm in mastermind groups. I have mentors. The key thing with that is don't hire the person that is, you know, the hottest thing on TV right now. Because first off, that person may not even be in the business anymore. And this could go for fitness, real estate, whatever. You know, you want to find a person that is actually doing in the business what you want to be doing, and they're actually grinding at it. So like, you know, I'm in a mastermind group with online entrepreneurs that are actively building their online business. These are people that I want to surround myself with so I can learn directly from them, not by the big hotshot overpriced program that you get home and then you pick up the phone when you have a question and someone's reading a script off the screen. You want to pick up the phone and call the person that says, yeah, I'm doing this right now. This is how you get to the next level. So absolutely have mentors, but make sure it's a person that has your best interest at heart.
So screen the people you want to work with. Make sure they're already taken care of and they're just trying to leech off you, sounds like almost.
Right.
they feel like giving back. And there's a lot of people out there like that.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of great people out there that truly do care about your best interest. But like I said, if it's the hottest thing on TV, that's probably not the guy or gal you want to hire.
Right. Find a need and fill it. Little A.D. Kessler there.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been active in the Cleveland market for quite some time now. What do you think is the best strategy to work here in the hometown?
For Cleveland, it's the hottest rental market. So in our marketplace, I think the best technique is to get into these C-class neighborhoods. Now, I invest in a lot of D-class, but I have more experience in this. So if you're new to it, you know, go for a B-minus or a C-class neighborhood, look for undervalued real estate, make a low offer on it, polish it up, and then hold it as a cash flow property. I think, you know, that's a great strategy here. There's not a shortage of people that want to rent property. Now, you could still go in with a fix and flip mindset here, and it does work, but the profit margins aren't as big. So if you're in a position to buy and hold, that is definitely the way to go in the Cleveland market.
You know, I think buy and hold is a very good strategy. The quick, get rich quick, flip them really fast. You see it on every single TV station. I don't know, man. It starts making me think of those infomercials. I'm not saying it can't be done, but I wouldn't say with a brand new investor. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do go that route, I just say start with a small deal. And then that way you can get your feet wet and you may not get the biggest profit, but that's fine. If you get to the finish line and you do make a profit, you just won and you have all the strategies with your hands getting dirty at that point. So, you know, and then you could step it up from there. But yeah, as far as buying for cash flow, you know, your mortgage cover is covered. The properties are undervalued in this marketplace. So it's a great buy all around.
So just for review, I mean, as a new investor starting out in the marketplace, one, you're talking about learning about yourself, getting empowered through these different motivational programs and kind of figuring out exactly what you want to do. Is that correct?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. And once I've got that down and I've got my strategy, should I go out and find a mentor or a coach, somebody who generally wants to help me?
Yeah, what I would do is once you have your plan down, make sure you're immersed in your plan already. So, you know, let's go back to say you want to do fix and flips. Make sure you're truly scouting deals every day. Because a mentor could charge upwards of $5,000 a month. So make sure you really love the plan you're after and every day you're just so excited about looking for properties. And then at the same time, start scouting, you know, podcasts, other people's blogs, and find the person you really connect with. And we actually covered a topic on, you know, finding the right mentor. Once you find someone on a blog or a podcast that you like, go over to their website and subscribe for there. Usually have a freemium on there. Subscribe for that. And if they deliver good value in that, next thing you do is maybe purchase their ebook for under $100 or their program for under $100. That's a way to get a good taste of what they could offer you. And if you're like, wow, this person's really delivering for me, I'd love to have this person show me the way, that's when you can hire the one-on-one services, which I truly recommend people to do when you know it's the right person for you.
And you guys offer these services. I know, do you network through different other real estate investors through meetings all week, or how do you guys go about that?
Yeah, I mean, we offer the services over at my site, and it's other investors that I network with that are, you know, stronger in other areas of real estate. So I'll either recommend them or I network with them for my deals. So the key is networking. You know, your network is your net worth. So you should always be networking with new investors at all times, especially in the categories of real estate you want to be involved with.
And your website's michaelalter.com, is that correct?
That is it. Okay. Or to keep it easier, just go to takingactiontoday.com.
Absolutely. I always tell people, you know why Nike's so successful? Because they just do it.
That's right.
Well, I just want to thank Mike for having me here in the studio and taking action today on episode 33. We learned a lot today about mindset, motivation, and manifestation. We learned a lot about Mike and his struggles in the beginning, and just never give up and keep educating yourself, surrounding yourself with positive people. This is Stephen Koss. Start taking action today.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalter.com or connect with me on Twitter at michaelalter34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody. Thanks, and let's take action today.